Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Saturday, March 9th. With Super Tuesday behind us, it's looking more than ever like we're in for a rematch between President Biden and former President Trump this November. So we're breaking down the key things to know from the Super Tuesday results and what it all means moving forward in this election. We've got a Republican and a Democrat offering smart data-based analysis from different sides of the aisle. You'll hear from Democratic strategist and Fox News contributor Jessica Tarlove in just a little bit. So be sure to stick around to hear her take on Biden's strategy, his age, and much more. But first up is Republican commentator Scott Jennings. He's a CNN contributor, host of the podcast Flyover Country, and previously served as a special assistant to President George W. Bush. Scott Jennings weighs in on Trump's momentum, Nikki Haley's exit, and the impact Trump's ongoing legal challenges may or may not have come November. Plus, he shares why he thinks Republicans may flip the Senate in November. All that and more right now. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Scott Jennings, thank you for joining us here on the Newsworthy once again.
Thank you. Good to hear your voice.
Would love to hear your biggest takeaway from Super Tuesday, particularly from a Republican perspective. What stood out to you the most?
Well, Donald Trump's dominance of the Republican Party. He really is remaking the party with this new working class coalition, a lot of non-college educated working class voters, multiracial coalition, I might add. You can really see it showing up in the exit polls on Tuesday. And his dominance of the party in the results then forced Nikki Haley out of the race. He's rolling now with a lot of momentum. I think it would appear to the average consumer of news would say Donald Trump looks pretty strong right now.
Nikki Haley has not endorsed him. Do you think that's impactful? And what are her supporters thinking right now? And how important are they to the general election?
I think some people in the business are misreading the results here. And I've heard some people say, 40% or 30% of Republicans don't like Donald Trump. I think if you look inside the exit polls and the opinion polling that's been done, a lot of these folks that were voting for Haley are not Republicans. Some are Democrats. Some are independents who behave like Democrats. Some may describe themselves as Republicans, but they're never Trump Republicans. And I just think a very small percentage of her supporters are actually achievable, frankly, for Donald Trump. He's probably thinking, I'm going to be spinning my wheels if I try to attract most of her voters. I would be better off trying to steal away some of Joe Biden's, traditional Democrat working class voters. I'm going to be a lot more efficient with my time and money if I go after them than if I try to attract some of this college educated suburban voters that seem to have gravitated away from the Republican Party since Trump came on the scene.
Yeah. And I mean, it is obviously looking like a Trump versus Biden general election again. Even though polls have shown a majority of Americans aren't thrilled about a rematch, what's standing out to you in terms of what is maybe the same and what might be different compared to 2020?
Donald Trump never led in a single poll in 2020. Joe Biden led him every poll the entire way through. It seemed like Joe Biden was ahead and he did win. In this election, Donald Trump seems to have a small lead over Joe Biden. Some of it was confirmed last weekend. Several media outlets had national head-to-heads. And it all showed Donald Trump ahead. Some, the spreads in some were larger than others, but it looks like he has a lead. The other difference could be the existence of third-party candidates. If you look at the polling, when you throw on RFK Jr. or Cornel West or other people, it really does drag both of them down into the low 40s, sometimes even into the 30s, because of what you said. You've got people out there who are dissatisfied with his choice, and they may be looking for another door.
Why do you think Trump is polling better this time around than in 2020?
Well, it has mostly to do with Joe Biden, I think. I think most of Trump's supporters are back for another round. They love Donald Trump, and they're not going anywhere. But what the difference is Joe Biden is just struggling. He's got a very low approval rating, historically low, in fact, when you look at him compared to other presidents heading into a reelection campaign. The recent Gallup poll finally, for the first time ever, had immigration as the number one issue in the country. And on that issue, it was Joe Biden's worst approval number. He had a net negative approval of like 39 points. The number one thing plaguing him, though, is just the age issue. People have largely concluded that he's too old and to be effective and maybe even too old to serve out a whole term. And Trump is benefiting from that right now.
Did Super Tuesday expose any problem areas or weaknesses for Trump?
Well, I mean, he's going to continue to struggle in counties and in areas that have high concentrations of college educated voters. I mean, these are the people who you saw sort of the clusters of areas where Haley did well. Just geographically, that's where he's going to struggle. Regarding issues, I didn't see much to be worried about if I were him. In fact, I was looking at the exit polls in California, which had a jungle primary for the U.S. Senate. So everyone was voting in the same primary. And you would expect California, being a more liberal state, would have maybe a different issue set that was on their mind than the rest of the country. But it really didn't bear out. What were they worried about in California, according to the exit polls? Cost of living, homelessness, which is really bad issue in California. But also they were worried about immigration and crime. I mean, these are the things you hear about in virtually every state. So as I looked at what voters were saying from an issue perspective, it really does set up for the kinds of issues that Trump wants to run on. The question is, can he stay on message and can he be disciplined enough to talk about those issues every single day, or does he get distracted with other grievances and other things?
Yeah, and what about some of the legal challenges Trump is facing, including criminal cases? Do you think those are impactful? Do you think they could be down the line?
The one that everybody should be watching is the January 6th case, which has gotten pushed back. There was a thought that was going to go to trial in the spring. Now the Supreme Court is getting involved. They're going to hear arguments about whether he has immunity from prosecution. I believe they won't grant him immunity, but by the time they do that, will there be enough time left in the election to actually have the January 6th criminal trial? If they do, and if he is convicted, big ifs, by the way, I do think there's a cohort of voters out there that will not want to vote for a convicted felon. But that case, it's really up in the air about whether that goes to trial before the election. That could have a huge impact about whether he can win or lose in November.
And Trump's team's strategy has been to at least delay, right?
Absolutely. Everything they've done is to try to push all this back as much as possible. They've not succeeded in the case of New York, but I think in the case of Georgia, where they've gone after the prosecutor, Fannie Willis there, they've obviously mucked that case up, and that's now up in the air. In the documents case in Florida, that one's a complicated case. It doesn't look like it's going to go to trial. And on the January 6th case, you know, he's arguing that he has absolute presidential immunity, and the Supreme Court, instead of just agreeing with lower court rulings that he doesn't, decided to take up the arguments and actually hear them out. Well, that adds time. And so if you're Donald Trump, the more time you can add to this gives you a better chance of pushing these cases off past November. I mean, obviously, you'd rather stand election in November not being a convicted felon. The best way to do that is to not have a trial over it.
And obviously, we saw the U.S. Supreme Court recently rule that individual states cannot bar Trump from state ballots. So that was key for him. But do you think that case ultimately had any impact on him, good or bad?
I think it was helpful to him because it was 9-0. I mean, you had all the justices from the most conservative to the most liberal agreeing that individual states can't throw a presidential candidate off the ballot. And, you know, if you're not a lawyer and you're just kind of looking in on this as an average person, and you see that Donald Trump won something at the Supreme Court 9-0, it gives you the feeling that he was right or that he has momentum or that the people who are trying to get him are failing. And so that had to have been a net positive day for the Trump campaign, not just to win the case, but also just to sort of feel the vibe coming out of a 9-0 victory.
Any predictions for who Trump might pick to be his running mate?
My choice, if I had to give him any advice, it would be Tim Scott of South Carolina. Tim Scott makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is that there is a real feeling inside the Republican Party that there is a possible effort to get African Americans and African American men especially to come into the Republican Party in this election. I think picking Tim Scott would be an inspired choice. He checks a lot of boxes for me politically and from a perspective of, is this guy capable? And absolutely he is. He's one of those few people that the Trump wing, the establishment wing, all the different corners of the Republican Party, I think there's not much they agree on, but there is one thing. They like Tim Scott.
Any other races not related to the presidency that stood out to you on the Republican side after Super Tuesday that maybe you'll be watching closely moving forward?
When I look at the overall landscape outside of the presidency, I look at the Republican Party having a really good chance of winning the Senate. Even if Trump loses, even if they lose the House, there's a really good chance they win the Senate because all they have to do is win one seat, one race, Ohio, Montana, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania. You know, there's a ton of races and all they have to do is win one or win the vice presidency. So in my opinion, there's a really high chance that the Republicans will take the Senate no matter what happens on the other two legs of the stool.
All right, we've got the Democratic perspective coming up next. Jessica Tarlove is a Fox News political contributor and a rotating co-host of their hit program, The Five. She also previously worked as a Democratic pollster and has a PhD in government. She's sharing her take on thousands of Democrats voting uncommitted in protest to President Biden and what issues are really standing out to voters moving forward. Plus, Jessica Tarlove weighs in on the ongoing concerns about Biden's age and what she believes could be a winning strategy to secure a second term. That and more coming up. But first, a quick break for our sponsors. I had been hearing about Skims for a while, and now that I'm actually wearing Skims, I can tell you it lives up to the hype. I got a bunch of items from their Fits Everybody collection, and I'm obsessed. Everything I got, from my new favorite bodysuit to a variety of intimates, has this amazing buttery soft fabric that I noticed right out of the bag and then felt even better about when I put it on. I love how it all feels, fits, and looks. Believe the hype because Skims has over 100,000 five-star reviews for a reason. The Fits Everybody collection is about to be your new favorite go-to essentials in your closet. At least they are for me now. You've got to check out all the options, especially because there's something for everybody. The Fits Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. You can shop now at skims.com. Plus, get free shipping on orders over $75. After you place your order, be sure to let them know we sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. This episode is also brought to you by Lumi. If you need a deodorant that can keep up with you while you're on the go, Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant that can work on everything from your pits to your feet. I use the stick deodorant on a daily basis, as usual, and I love the body wash in the shower, too. Then I keep the convenient deodorant wipes on hand for on the go. And no matter where or how you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long and control odor for up to 72 hours. And they've got over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it. It's baking soda-free, paraben-free, and more. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code NEWSWORTHY at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi, L-U-M-E, deodorant.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY. Okay, now to our conversation with Democratic strategist and Fox News contributor, Jessica Tarlove. Jessica Tarlove, thank you so much for joining us here on The Newsworthy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So first, I just want to ask what stood out to you the most from the Super Tuesday results, specifically for Democrats. What's the main takeaway?
I think the main takeaway is that the Democratic Party is pretty well unified. I was lucky enough to be in Iowa and to be in New Hampshire, and everyone was kind of bracing for impact because there had been all these terrible stories about how many people were going to show up for Dean Phillips or Marianne Williamson, or there was even the ceasefire vote that was something that was going on in Iowa. And basically everyone just said like, nah, Joe Biden's our guy and we're going to show up and vote for him. He was actually running ahead of where Obama was in 2012 in a lot of the Super Tuesday states. So that was pretty cool.
Let's talk a little bit more about that uncommitted vote, because there were tens of thousands of people who voted uncommitted. And for anyone who doesn't know, that's seemingly to protest Biden's policy on Israel and the war in Gaza. Talk more about that. What is your take on that? And is there any sort of potential impact come November?
Well, it's tough to say what's going to happen 8 months from now. And I think that all of us, for a multitude of reasons, the most craven of all that, you know, that I want Joe Biden to win the election. So I hope that the war is over. The actual reason we hope the war is over, because we want every single hostage returned to Israel and for there to be a peaceable solution where everyone can live together there. I don't think that the war is going to be a hot topic by the time that we get to November. It's too much time. And I think that people are going to be focusing on the bread and butter issues, the things that they usually do. You know, James Carville, it's the economy, stupid, right? I don't think we're going to be saying it's, you know, this, it's the settlement, stupid. But it is important that there are people who are standing up and saying, you know, we're not completely sold on all of this. But you have to consider the fact that there are uncommitted voters, no matter how popular the president is or how young the president is. You know, you think of Barack Obama, complete rock star, right? He's basically as close to a Democratic Mick Jagger as you could get, with Bill Clinton in second there for sure. And he got tens of thousands of uncommitted voters as well. And no one sat around saying that this was the end of his political life. And he beat Mitt Romney quite handedly. So I'm paying attention to it because every vote counts, and people deserve to be heard. And especially from places like Michigan, where there's such a big Muslim population, such a big Palestinian population, and you want to be cognizant of that. But it doesn't scare me going into 2024.
You mentioned Dean Phillips didn't end up being a big issue for Biden. He obviously has dropped out now and has endorsed Biden. So how do you think Biden is going to approach Nikki Haley's supporters now that she dropped out as well? You know, what are those supporters thinking? And is Biden going to go after them? Could they impact November?
Well, he's definitely going after them. I thought that the statement that he released Wednesday morning after Super Tuesday, when she bowed out, was exactly the right tone, especially considering that over the weekend, Donald Trump had said, this is 100% MAGA party. We don't need you, which is obviously, if you're trying to build a coalition, a pretty dumb thing to say. And Biden said, you're always welcome with us. And the truth is that a lot of Nikki Haley's voters were part of the Biden coalition in 2020. And so I think that his messaging to the Nikki Haley voters will continue to be consistent along those lines, to say, you've stood with us before, stand with us again. These are the things that I have delivered for you. These are the issues that Donald Trump is really failing you on. And obviously, the Dobbs decision has been hugely important. I think it's 7 or 8 referendums now that have occurred since the Dobbs decision came down. And a lot of those people who were voting for Nikki Haley did also turn out to protect a woman's right to choose. And that'll be a cornerstone of how he talks to them as well.
Yeah. So abortion is a big issue, obviously driving voters to the polls. And it seems Biden is coming out on top on that one. But what about immigration? That seems to be a big one as well.
Definitely is. I wasn't prepared for it to be consistently the number one issue for Republican and independent voters. It's still not number one for Democrats, but it has creeped up in order of importance. And I think that a lot of that is due to that Operation Lone Star, which was Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, his plan to put migrants on buses and send them to liberal cities all over the country. And it has completely transformed the conversation about what's going on with illegal immigration. And a lot of people have sympathy for those folks who live down on border states. You hear Eric Adams and people like Kathy Hochul, the mayors of Chicago, Baltimore, Washington, D.C., saying we absolutely cannot sustain this. It's important. It can't be ignored. And I think it will become a focal point of the campaign in an unexpected way, for sure.
We've also heard repeatedly about Biden's age. You know, it's a concerning factor for a lot of voters. Do you think it'll be a decisive issue? Where do things stand with that right now?
I have seen some really interesting polling about how the age issue is really important, but that if you properly message or talk about the other issues that are also important to voters, that they forget about the age more. So if you are delivering on the economy, if you have the right vision for the future, if you are saying the right things about the social issues that matter, things like gun safety, reproductive choice, climate change, that people are not as concerned about the fact that he's turning 82 next year.
Do you think the special counsel report over the confidential documents had any impact?
Well, I don't think it had an impact beyond the age question necessarily, because that was really the gratuitous part of it. But I think it definitely bubbled up the age question in a way that people hadn't been confronting it.
So how would you advise the Biden campaign moving forward? What do you think is a winning strategy for them?
I think you got to let him just go out there and be himself. People like Joe Biden. That's why he got elected in 2020. They felt that he understood them, that he was personable, that he cared. And we especially needed that at a moment of gross insecurity during a big global pandemic. And he's quick and he's funny and he's also awkward and gaffe prone, but that's very human about him.
When you're comparing this rematch to 2020, what is standing out to you? Because at this point in the election season, Biden was doing better in 2020. Now we're seeing Trump doing a little better than he was in 2020 at this point. Is that concerning? What are your thoughts there?
Well, I'd certainly rather be ahead of in the polls the entire time than not. But I do think that there is a little bit of a bias problem in terms of how the polls are being covered. Last weekend, there was a slew of polls, the New York Times Siena poll. We had our own Fox News poll. There were like three or four polls that were really bad for Biden that showed him down with Black voters, Hispanic voters, Gen Z voters, et cetera, kind of core to his coalition. And over the course of this week, there have been four plus polls that have him either tied or up, but no one wants to talk about those. People like doom and gloom, and I think even Democratic-leaning outlets or liberal-leaning outlets are still chasing clicks. I think that that's something that is important and impactful, especially in how people feel about Joe Biden's accomplishments and what he's been doing in his administration. And that has a big impact on just how people are seeing the race, which at this point, I would say it's a toss-up, right? It's within the margin of error. I think Trump is up 2.3 in the Real Clear Politics average.
Final thought as we move forward in this election season.
We have a candidate now. We know what the race is, and stop kind of faffing around with this idea of, oh, well, you know, we're going to have this magical open convention and suddenly Gavin Newsom will rise up and his perfect hair will, you know, take us to victory in November. Like, this is what the race is, and everyone needs to get on board with that because every single vote is going to count.
A big thank you to both of our guests for their time and analysis today. To get more insights from Republican commentator Scott Jennings, you can watch him on CNN and listen to his podcast, Flyover Country. And catch Jessica Tarlov's political analysis on Fox News. Links to learn more about each of them are in today's episode notes. That's it for now, but be sure to join us again Monday for our next 10-minute news roundup. Every weekday morning, we provide the need-to-know details about election season, right alongside a bunch of other news that comes in handy for your life, all in just about 10 minutes a day. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.